Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Today we're going to jump right in and talk about this series again, Rock of Ages. And so I've been looking for a theme and a title. And so this one, I'm just going to name it this, Rock You Like a Hurricane. Da-na-na, da-na, da-na. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, good. I'm in the right. See, I was wondering today, I'm gonna sing a few lyrics and don't leave me hanging way out there. Like, I never, that's secular. I don't listen to that. Okay. Totally 80s, I know, but I'm going to try to cover several generations today so you don't feel like you're left out or that I'm outdated. Okay, so Matthew 7, verse 24 through 28. Pastor Richard started with this, but he used a different version. I'm going to use the New Living Translation. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it. Anyone who listens... keep that in mind. To my teaching and follows it is wise like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Say solid rock.
Solid rock.
There you go. Through the rain, or though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it will not collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand, then when the rains come and the floods and all the wind and everything against that house, what will it do? It will collapse with a mighty crash. It's interesting, in this version, it pulled out two different words. It says, those who listen and do, and those who hear and don't do. Listen and hear are two different things. Some of you are listening, which is more active leaning in. Some of you are hearing. Like you hear anything. Some of you just woke up and decided you're going to listen rather than hear. Because I've got some things to tell you that are going to be encouraging. And if applied to your life, it says, you will be built on a solid ground, solid rock of Jesus Christ. And then when things come at you, they won't overthrow you. Amen. Amen. That's good, good news. So I want to give you another verse before we jump in fully into this. Psalms 18, verse 2 through 3. This is the Passion Translation. You're as real to me as bedrock under my feet, beneath my feet, like a castle on a cliff, my forever firm fortress, my mountain of hiding, my pathway of escape. Isn't this awesome? All of this. My tower of rescue where none can reach me. My secret strength and shield around me. You are salvation's ray of brightness shining on a hillside. Always the champion of my cause. That's awesome. All we need to do is call on you or call to you. Singing, this is worship, this is music. Singing to you, the praiseworthy God. When I do, I'm safe and sound in you. I've got all these songs, safe and sound. Okay, I keep going. Okay, verse 31 of this same chapter. Who is God besides the Lord? Who is the rock except our God? Oh, I love that. Who is the rock except our God? I'm so glad we don't have a passive God and a passive faith. We have a strong, bold, declarative message about who Jesus is. He is our rock, right? Rock of ages. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you help me with the rest of this message. Help to drive it home by your Spirit. Open up our hearts to be able to receive it. Open up our spirits to receive change. And Lord, open up our eyes to see it. Lord, let the enemy not be able to blind our eyes or cover our ears. We pray that we are open to receive everything that you have to say in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Like I said, as last week, Pastor Richard, he kicked off this whole message of Rock of Ages. I was excited to hear Rock of Ages because, look, that is my genre. That's what I kind of grew up in. And so I'm excited about this. Some of you don't know some of my part of my backstory was growing up in Orlando and starting to play drums and then started to play, you know, with different Christian bands around in Orlando. And no, they never took off. And no, we never got a record deal and all this. But I was playing and just doing what we did. And so I drum, but you're like, well, how haven't we seen you drumming? Because we have some better drummers here that have really taken my spot. And I'm happy for them because it's allowed me to move up in different areas too. But I've absolutely enjoyed. And you know, maybe you'll hear me drum someday. So I will light that stick around and it'll be awesome. But this is what get me excited about this because as Pastor Richard taught last week, he was reading a book and he passed this book to me, Lennon Dillon, Alice and Jesus by Greg Laurie. What a great book. He gave it to me on Sunday. I finished it last night and it was so good. Like, wow. No, wow, it was a great book. It was a really great book because, you know why? Because there were so many of these people that back when I saw them playing or maybe went to some of their concerts at that time, never crossed my mind that these people would be saved. I'm just saying, where they were then, there was no inkling that they were going to be serving Jesus. And I'm just so excited to see all that God is doing. But the other thing we're going to be focusing on this month is the focus of the strength, stability, and endurance in Christ, that rock. And how the pursuit of such can be through the mechanism of music. So we want to tie that in and just really celebrate God's gift of music. How many believe God created music? Yes. The devil didn't create it. He didn't create it. He's twisted it. He's changed it. He's utilized the power of God's creation. But music was God's idea. Amen. And he gifted many musicians with amazing talents to glorify him. And so this month we're going to be sharing some of these musicians' stories. And listen, some of these stories were people that stayed faithful in their belief in their faith. And just all the way through the whole process. I was just reading last night, just the whole, now this is not rock, but I mean, Carrie Underwood, you know, you got to give it up for that woman because, like, you know what? She held fast to faith, and her whole story is she prioritized Jesus in her life. God honored her, and she's never had a story of failure walking away from God. And that's just like, man, good for you. There are several other musicians, maybe some that you never heard of, that really stayed strong. Now, there was others that they went through crazy stuff. I mean, some of them were raised in churches, and then they left, and then they went into the depth of darkness and alcoholism and drug addiction, and some of them, like, just fell off the cliff into the abyss. Some died. Some had an incredible move of God happen, change in their lifestyle, and it's in a redemption story from hell to heaven, redemption story. And so we want to highlight some of those things, and one of them I just wanted to just start out with a story. You ready for a story?
Yes.
Okay, how many have ever heard of Vincent Damon Fournier? Not a person here? Not one? How many have ever heard of Alice Cooper?
Yeah.
Same person. Okay. He started out as Vincent Damon Fournier. Listen, he was raised in a Christian home, was always a performer, had a talent for dramatic performances. And so he started a band in his teens called Alice Cooper. The band was named Alice Cooper. Later on, he legally changed his name to Alice Cooper. And as fame increased, he just moved further and further and further away from his Christian roots to the point that as he had everything at his disposal. Here's the thing. Sometimes we judge these people for what they went through, but we have no idea the world that they live in where everything is thrown at their feet free. Right? People, you know, for these guys, women are throwing themselves at their feet. They had all the sex they wanted, all the drugs they wanted, everything they want. You know, it was all theirs. And so in this atmosphere, that's why he got further and further away. In fact, he was talking about, he was giving his testimony at length. I won't give the whole backstory, but he was talking about the depravity, the darkest hours of his time. He lived on a constant high. He just maintained a high 24/7. And he talked about how he didn't go to sleep. He just passed out. You know, he never just chose to went to sleep. He would just always pass out. And he'd taken so many drugs that he was talking about that there were at least 2 years of his life that he recorded and performed music that he can't remember doing. And it was just so given over to this kind of lifestyle. And so when he talked about it, he talked about, you know, he even brought up the whole point about, like, you've ever seen these rock stars who are, like, emaciated in dealing with drugs, you know, and dealing with all this stuff. And you're wondering, man, how can they possibly survive? How in the world do the Rolling Stones actually walk in their own 2 feet? I have no idea how they're not on walkers by now or something. How they're even alive. But here is the thing. When he talked about that, at that point of addiction, he says, you're performing and everything, and you eat maybe once every maybe 3 days, eat a little bit of food, but you're always tanking up on drugs and alcohol. And that's what's sustaining you. And so that was what he was dealing with. So without any further ado, I want you to hear directly from him, because we have a short blurb, a short section of video that he talked about with his testimony. If you go ahead and play that.
So it's so wonderful that you're here continuing to make great music and making an impact. And you're not ashamed to say that you believe in Jesus Christ.
Oh, absolutely. You know, people talk about Alice being a rebel, and there was never a rebel, more of a rebel than Jesus Christ. If you want to talk about a rebel, he was the ultimate.
That's right.
Cheryl had gone. She'd gone to Chicago and said, I can't watch this. But the cocaine was speaking a lot louder than her. Finally, I looked in the mirror, and it looked like my makeup, but it was blood coming down. I think I might have been hallucinating. I don't know. Flushed the rock down the toilet. I woke up and I called her and I said, it's done. And she goes, right. You know, she said, you have to prove it. One of the deals was we start going to church.
Yeah.
So I knew who Christ was, Jesus Christ was. And I was denying him. I knew that there had to either come a point where I either accepted Christ and started living that life, or if I died in this, I was in a lot of trouble. Yeah. And that's what really motivated me. I just got to a point of saying, I'm tired of this life. And I know that this is right. When the Lord opens your eyes and you suddenly realize who you are and who he is.
Yes.
Oh, it's a whole different world. Yeah. I went to my pastor and I said, I think I got to quit being Alice Cooper now. He says, look where he put you. What if you're Alice Cooper, but what if you're now following Christ and you're a rock star, but you don't live the rock star life? Your lifestyle is now your testimony.
Today, you know, you have your band, the Hollywood Vampires, Joe Perry and Johnny Depp, and, you know, you hang out with these guys that you told me that you gave a Bible to Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
They respect you because you're you. You have this platform to reach people that, like a guy like me who's a preacher, it never listen to a guy like me, but they'll listen to a guy like you.
When I became the other, when I that Alice was gone, you started looking at the lyrics and you started going, wait a minute, that's pointing to Christ.
Yeah, I wish I could show you more of this stuff. There's a longer interview there that you can see. But it's really interesting in talking about how he is so solidly strong in standing up for Jesus in this time and reaching so many people. But I'm going to get back to that thought in a second. But I want to lay out some things for you. If you're writing some notes, some things that you can have as takeaways, even from that very first verse that we talked about, talking about the Rock of Ages, building your house on a rock and not sand. Think about what had happened. He built his house, his whole persona, on shifting sand, and it all came to an end. And there was a time where he had to rebuild his whole life. And so here's the first point I want to bring about. Jesus is the rock. He is eternal, permanent, and reliable. And what I want to tell you is you might like say, you might be shaking your head, oh yes, but what I want you to do is see how to apply this. If you're building every area of your life, including your relationships, your family, your finances, your career pursuits, if you're building everything on an eternal value of who Jesus is, guess what? When everything changes, even when culture changes, even when you change through the phases of life, if you build on the wrong things, when life changes, when you've been pursuing a career and it suddenly changes on you through no control of your own, it changes. Suddenly, is there an identity crisis? That's one area that's pointing to you. You didn't build on the rock. You didn't build on the rock. What if things change in your marriage and you go through a real challenge? Well, if it's built on a rock, you have some resolution there. All right? Let me just challenge you with this. Men, if you build your relationship with God on the spirituality of your wife, oh man, I'm sorry. I always get a little salty in certain things. I just press a little bit. But here is the thing. You cannot build your faith on mommy and daddy's faith. You can't build your faith on your wife's faith, your husband's faith. You need to find the rock yourself and build on him. And then out of that, you're going to be solid. The next one I want to talk about is simply this. When you talk about where you're going to build, that's real estate. What do they say about real estate? The three words? Location, location, location. The reason I want to bring this up is one person built on a rock, one person built on sand. There could have been two different locations involved in two different environments. What environment have you been called to? What environment have you been called to? Because you need to think about this. If you are like many of these people were called to be in the music industry, that's a whole different world. Same thing with Hollywood, a very different world to exist in and to find success in. Listen, think about politics, right? If you're outside of politics, you have no clue what it feels like to be within that belly of the beast. And how to be a strong believer in that will take something different. It'll take being solid in the rock, obviously, but God being that rock, Jesus being that rock is going to give you wisdom about doing this. Think about this. Those of you that are in the trades and you're here on Sunday morning and listen, this is cool, clean and polished and good. And then tomorrow you go and work with your friends that were bleepity bleep this and bleep bleep this and bleep 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 this. And where's the bleep and bleep and get you bleep bleep bleep. Right? Some of you in construction are like, that's right. You know what? Look here. If you find the place where you are called to and you shine there because you're on a foundation that's solid, then all of that stuff doesn't affect you, but you have to determine what it takes to live in that environment, okay? Next one is the third point. Storms will come. Thank you. That's just what we want to hear. Storms will come. Your foundation will be tested. If you settle that now, you won't be surprised. God didn't call you to an existence without any kind of tests or temptations, right? He won't be the tempter, but he hasn't called you to be outside or separate from him. He's called you to have something within you to be able to make it through. Some of these stars were people who withstood chaotic storms around them, but they stood because they did have enough foundation, even in their upbringing, that kept them. Others, like I said, were swept away, just like that story, that Matthew verse there. When the storms came, they were built on sand. They didn't find out they were built on sand until the storm came. Then they found out, right? So we need to make sure that we're built on that. Next one is rock or sand. It's your choice for your foundation. It's not circumstantial. Push that aside. There's so much in this thought. It's not circumstantial. Well, it was just out of circumstances beyond my control. Wait, yeah, I understand. That's what a storm is. But if you were shifted and moved, it had to do with your decision on what you built your life in. And you choose. You choose. Okay, next one. If you're built on the rock, God will use you to influence other sand builders. Because you're going to be one built on a rock, and there are going to be people all around you built on sand. When the storm hits, sometimes it hits all of you. All of y'all, Southern, all y'all. And when the storm hits, they're going to be wondering, wait, why are you not freaking out? Don't you see that there's a storm rocking us like a hurricane? You got some rockers. It's starting to, you know, get alive now. Why are you not moved? Well, man, dude, look at my foundation. This is the rock. And you'll be a witness to those that are just going through chaos. And so I go back to that thing that Alice was talking about, how his pastor encouraged him to stay in the mix, not get out of the mix, stay in the mix, be a light. Like you said, he had some time where he was touring with Marilyn Manson. How many know Marilyn Manson? That dude's freaky. Anyway, so he's preaching to him, and he encouraged him about marriage, of all things. That was the inroad. They started talking about marriage. And then he gave him a Bible, and he says, we are very different in our philosophies and our theology, he said, because he's, you know, kind of dedicated, say he's Satanist, I'm a believer, a Christian. And he said, but he's a nice guy, and I'm speaking with him and encourage him. That's so cool. And he talked about Hollywood vampires, which is not sucking blood. It's just a joke because they stay up late. That's their life. All of these musicians stay up late instead of the morning. So they say they never see the sun. They're vampires. Ha ha. Anyway, so, but he talked about Joe Perry. And then there's some other band members, Brad Whitford, both from played in Aerosmith. Tommy Hendrickson, he played in a rock group called Warlock. He collaborated with Meat Loaf, Lady Gaga, Daughtry. This guy was really connected in music industry. Glenn Sobel played drums for Motley Crue, Richie Sambora, several other things. What I'm saying is he had connections here. There was another band member, if you don't know that band, there was another band member you might have heard of. His name is Johnny Depp. And he's known for Jack Sparrow and Edward Scissorhands and... You know Jack Sparrow, okay. So here's the thing. God had Alice stay in that, built on a rock so he could be around everybody else to be witness, to be a witness, to be a light. That's what God ultimately wants to do. He loves you so much, he doesn't want you to go through destruction and be lost. He wants you to find that salvation and that rock in him. And he wants you to be a light to everybody around you. Isn't that awesome? Not asking to be brought out of the world, but to be kept in the world and be a light. So some of the other famous rockers, as I was reading and hearing some of these different stories, one that really just threw me, and I saw this a few years ago, and I was so excited, was Brian Welch of Korn. Some of you know his nickname was Head. Because he was given that nickname because he has a big head. Anyway, it's interesting. But Korn, let me just, again, show of hands. How many people know of Korn? Not like the corn or cob, but Korn. Okay, so Korn is just like, that's like, if you're going to rock, that's like, that's out there. That's solid, crazy. I mean, just, he's got an interesting following, and he got saved, and he got his bandmates saved, and now they continue to be in that genre, reaching and preaching to people. While they rock out, they're preaching to people. It's just amazing. Dave Mustaine and David Elson, both from Megadeth, both saved, both radically saved, both from bad drug addiction, and really got saved radically. And Nico McBrien, drummer of Iron Maiden, saved and reaching other people. And then I saw an interview just a short time ago with Jonathan Rumi. You know him. He is the actor of Jesus in Chosen. So he was going around interviewing different people, and he interviewed one of his favorite bands, the lead of the favorite bands. His name is Brandon Flowers. He's a frontman for The Killers. And David and Brandon Flowers, he's just talking about his relationship with Jesus Christ. That he is always about making music that is integrity and is straight up, and he wants to be who he is in his regular lifestyle as he is on stage. Who you see is who he is. He lives that witness. That's awesome. Some of you are like, I don't know if you know the Killers. You know, jealousy, turning saints into the sea, chasing us in. But it's just the price I pay. Destiny is calling me. Open up my eager eyes. I'm Mr. Brightside. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. People watching right now, they're like, what? Okay, that's all right. Okay, let's have some fun with a few songs because I want to talk about the power of the connectivity of the gift of music. Even if it's not used directly for the full purpose, there's still power in it, okay? So help me out, don't leave me hanging. If I sing part of the lyric, I want you to finish it. And I'm reaching every generation. Some of you have no idea what I'm saying. Okay, let's jump way back for those old school rockers, all right? Think about this, okay? People tried to put us down. There you go. Now I need it a little bit more bold. If you're waiting, like, I'm not sure if I know this, I'm going to, don't leave Pastor Chris hanging. Way out there. Okay, talking about my generation. Okay, everybody knows this. We all live in a yellow submarine. Thank you. Now we've got something going. What about? We will rock you. Okay, now we got something happening. That's awesome. What about I wanna roll all night? Oh, thank you. I feel the love. I feel your kisses. Ha ha. What about born in the
USA?
Man, okay, wait a minute. You can't get this confused with Cheech's parody. Born in East LA, man, I was. Anyway. What about don't stop
believing?
Oh, man, I feel like it's a concert here. This is cool. Okay. Okay, what about shout, shout. I'm talking to you. Oh my gosh. I got to tell you something. Tears for Fears is one of my wife's favorite bands of all time. So anyway, so if you throw down some lyrics with that, she's going to be able to sing along with you. Anyway, she's going to be your second service. So now the pressure's on. She's probably watching. I'm sorry. Anyway. Okay. So what about this one? Can you take me higher? To a place where blind men see. All right. Creed, that's a whole different story because I read about him and, man, he went through horrible. All that you hate about Creed, because there's a lot of people that really hate that band because of the crazy stuff he did, that was under the influence and he was mentally off. He finally is on track. Thank God. Thank God. Anyway, let me see. What about all that glitters is gold?
Only shooting stars break the
mold. I just love this. So give yourselves a hand. That's awesome. Okay. Music is universal. That's what I want to bring about. Music is universal because here's the thing. In some situations where you might not be of that generation, but you know the song. Right? And you can sing along and somehow you can connect. It's powerful. And how God has used or created music and how it still works in every venue. But listen, there's such power in songs. I'm going to give you a little homework for you to do. And if you write it down, I want you to see something just for the sake of carrying over this message when you go home. Don't look it up now. Okay? But write this down. Okay. Look up on YouTube. Look up Coldplay Fix You Live in Sao Paulo. Coldplay Fix You, the song name, Fix You, live in Sao Paulo. What it is it's 46,000 people in this arena in Brazil, a different language, singing this song about Fix You. And there's something about the lyric that was wrote in that song that identifies with the hurt and the pain of experience of people. And you see this this concert. Everyone is just caught up in this moment, singing this song, and tears and hugs, and like, it's a moment. But here's the thing, it's powerful, but it's the power of man to man. And that still has power. It's the power of, I was hurt, you were hurt, I get you. And there's strength in that, but obviously there is a higher way and a higher expression of music. It's one that's purer, it's closer to its created purpose. It's God to man and man to God. And so as you're seeing this kind of worship, it's different. Because as we're worshiping God. Look, I mean, I like Coldplay. I mean, it's a good song. But they're singing, I will try to fix you. Somehow that's soothing, like, oh, you care. But, all right, but how are you trying to fix me? Right? But when we worship Jesus, he is the one who fixes you. He has the fix. So anyway, so it's just so good. So watch that. And then when you do, look up another thing online while you're there, YouTube, Passion Conference 2024. Watch one, man to man. Watch another, man to God and God to man. 50,000 people in that arena worshiping God. And there is an atmosphere of faith. There's an atmosphere of miraculous in that. There's a higher expression that I wanted to bring about the power of music and its drawing to Jesus. So I got to tell you, as I am rounding about trying to come into for a landing, you know, I would just confess with you, you know, I was preparing for this time and I'm excited and I got a verse and I'm like, I studied it. Oh, it's going to be so good. And it's going to be great. And then I put this, the next thing I'm going to be sharing with you. Are you ready to hear it?
Yes.
Well, you already heard it last Sunday, because as I was driving here and listening to the podcast, Pastor Richard started preaching this very thing. I'm like, oh, I was right here. That's where I got the inspiration. He preached this. And I'm like, Pastor Rich is probably going to watch this and be laughing, because I'm like, you know, I thought I got this fresh from heaven. How many have parents of like teenagers, you know, when they start preaching back to you and you're like, it's what I've been telling you. Anyway, so, but he taught on a different subject. So I feel like there's an anointing in this. So it must be that God wants me to just to drive the nail a little bit further. Okay. So you're ready for this? One of the verses that he talked about was an Old Testament where three kings gathered together and they were coming against an enemy. And I'll just read this from 2 Kings 3. And you can join and you can see it right behind me. The king of Edom and his troops joined them, and all three armies traveled along the roundabout route through the wilderness for 7 days. But there was no water for the men or the animals. So it's dry, a dry place. What should we do? The king of Israel cried out. The Lord has brought the three of us here to let the king of Moab defeat us. And then King Jehoshaphat, who had an understanding and revelation of what it was and worship, he said this. He said, is there not a prophet of the Lord among us? If there is, can we ask the Lord what to do through him? Basically, what is God saying? That's what we need. So they sent for him. I'll go ahead and jump for sake of time. I'm going to jump. Actually, Jehoshaphat said, jump to the end here. Yes, the Lord speaks through this person, Elijah. Yes. So the king of Israel, oh, there it is. My water's falling. Anyway. Okay. So the king of Israel, king of Jehoshaphat of Judah, and the king of Edom went to consult Elijah. 2 Kings, verse 3, jump down a few more verses, 14 through 16. Elijah replied when they came to him. He said, as surely as the Lord lives, the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I wouldn't even bother with you, except for my respect for King Jehoshaphat. Three kings come to him, and he speaks to three kings and says, you know what? You other jokers, I don't have time for you. You, I have time for. Man, that's rock and roll right there. Anyway, so he says, so now bring me someone who can play the harp. While the harp is being played, the power of God came upon Elijah. And he said, this is what the Lord says. This dry valley will be filled with pools of water. Here is the thing. See what happened. They were in a desperate situation. It was dry. They needed the word of the Lord. How would they get the word of the Lord? Call someone that knows how to tap that presence. How did he tap that presence? Worship. Worship, open the heavens to be able to bring about the will of God, declare the word of God. When that was declared, what was dry was made just lush with water, irrigated, completely flooded. Isn't that awesome what happens? So one of the powers of music through the presence of God is opening up the heavens so that the presence of God can come and bring change in the natural. That's what we're looking to do. That's the power of worship. That's the power of God in worship. It's not worship alone that's powerful. It's the presence of God that comes and inhabits it that makes it powerful. So encourage some of you, realize, even discern, when you're playing music, some of it's going to be good, and sometimes you can get on this soul kick. You know what I'm talking about. When you feel sorry for yourself and you have that one song that just like soothes your soul, and you know it's just like soulishly emotional, sappy. You know this. Right? Some of you watching like the Christian Hallmark movie, the Christmas Hallmark movies and stuff. I know, it's the same thing. You know exactly where it's going, but somehow it feels good. Okay, cool. Discern it for what it is, but realize there's time to be intentional that there is a higher purpose, a higher way, a higher expression of worship, a higher expression of music that can get you where you are not. Amen? You can see the presence of God. Yeah. One last verse as I'm closing. It says this in Romans 11, 36. It says, for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. Everything comes from him. It all exists for his glory. Even you came from him. You exist for his glory. Your voice singing exists for his glory. Amen? Amen. So just, if you will, Pastor Lindsay, we want to bring this in for a landing and just want to talk to you just for a second. And maybe you're at the point where you're like, you know what? I've enjoyed the sing-along. I'm glad you had a good anointed, karaoke time. But even more important is where you stand right now in your relationship with God. Again, have you been a listener or you've been a hearer? Have you been able to take what you listen to and apply it to your life? Maybe some of the stuff, what I find is a lot of times we're kind of compartmental. Like we have one area of our life and it's fine. Other area, all hell is breaking loose. Why? Because there's certain areas that we build and we have our trust in different things. We trust God here, but we might not trust him here, right? Most of the time is, I trust God in these areas, but in this area, I'm doing pretty good myself. That's shifting sand. That can change in a moment. So that's what God is wanting you to do, is even go back to those times. Jesus is saying, rebuild on that foundation, the real rock. I want you to close your eyes for a second and just contemplate what God is saying in the moment and where your life is and viewing where your foundation is. And are you built on that bedrock? Who Jesus is? From him, through him, and for him, all things exist. And right now, if you're at the point where you're like, you know what, I'm ready to commit one area or my whole life over to Jesus being the rock that I'm built on. I don't want to be on shifting sand, or maybe you're already being shifted and a lot of stuff's breaking loose on your life and you're like, man, I've got to find that rock of stability where I can start building again. If that's you, I want you to just raise your hands because I want to see who I'm praying for, because I want to pray for you right now. Good, 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 good. Keep those hands up because I'm praying for you right now. If you're watching online, make sure as well that you're participating in this moment. And Jesus, we pray right now that you would do a miracle. We've heard these stories and testimonies of people that went through horrible, horrible devastation. And you reached down even to the pits of hell and you brought them up. You raised them up and you set them on a new foundation. And now they're a light to other people. That's a miracle. And Jesus, I want a miracle in my life right now. Jesus, be Lord. Be King. Be praying this with me. Be Lord. Be King. And be the rock that I stand on. I give up every area of my life completely to you, Jesus. Be the rock that I stand on in every area. Redeem my life. Come back and buy me back. Redeem me back. And make me new in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's give him a hand of praise. He is good. He's our rock.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.